The stocks discussed on PTS Radio are not in any way a solicitation or recommendation to buy, sell, or hold. If considering acting on information presented, we recommend that you seek out a licensed professional for advice. Get ready for the radio show that is all about trading. It's your weekly dose about how to trade your account. Here is your host, Mel Raymond.
Welcome to PTS Radio, the broadcast that is all about trading. This is your host, Mel Raymond, and I hope you're having a wonderful three-day holiday weekend. I know it's much deserved. We have enough material to do three or four broadcasts today, so let's get rolling by taking a look at the PTS Radio page. If you don't have it up, you can find it at ptsradio.com and follow the links to PTS Radio. There's a lot of material on the page today, and that's our way of presenting visual aids to the broadcast, since this is not a video and we have lots of things to look at. The first thing we're going to look at is how the PTS setups did during the past week. We kind of reversed the order this week, starting with the lowest productive trade, which was a dollar on Devon. That was a long, all the way to $4.23 on RKH. A lot of good trades this week, especially at the beginning of the week, which brings up an interesting trading point, which is if you have a goal, your goal shouldn't be daily. It should be averaged over a week or a longer time frame, such as a month. Monday and Tuesday were pretty good. I think Wednesday was slow. Thursday was good. Friday was flat, and you might as well have just gone out and played golf or gone shopping or done something useful. Just wasn't much of a day. Nonetheless, if you look up at the chart on the radio page, you'll see that many of the trades did close on the Friday, and one was, I think, $2 or $3, and the others were a dollar something. So you could still make money, but it wasn't a big day. Last week, we went over our complimentary setups for this past week, Devon and FCX, DVN and FCX. Devon produced $5.43. Some of you may have been shaken out sooner. It depends on which chart you're following. If you're following a longer chart, it would have kept you in. FCX produced, as a long, $5.81. So a very productive week, again, for the comp setups. If you don't get them, go ahead and sign up. It's right above this on the PTS Radio page. We really don't need your name, just your email address. We never share your address, and you can opt out at any time. Now let's go ahead and take a look at the market. And the easiest way to do that is to bring up a chart of the S&P 500. That's the SPX. Now on the radio page, we have the chart for you in candlesticks, and it shows that there's a range between 880 and 940. We've been stuck in that for the month of May. Maybe just at the end of April we got into this area, and we've been stuck there. We're now approaching the bottom of the range again, so it'll be interesting to see what happens during the coming week. Now, if you've been watching the markets carefully every day, one thing you've noticed is a lack of volume. So we do need some volume if it's going to move up. We don't need as much volume for it to fall, however, and it could break support here. This is a very, very strong area, the 880 area. That's as high as we went. That was resistance in February. It's now support. Come down to this area before, recently, and not been able to go through it. I don't expect a lot of activity this week. I was speaking to one of the brokers in New York, I guess on Friday, and he said, "Oh, sure, I know where all the traders are. They're out at the Hamptons." Of course, he's referring to the professional money, the trading rooms, the market makers, that sort of thing. They are vacationing. They don't get very many breaks. You'll hear me say this every time we have a vacation, but people who work full-time with the stock markets don't get very many vacations. They tend to take these three-day weekends and make them into 4 or 5-day weekends. Sometimes they just let them run all week. So I don't expect a lot of people there Tuesday. There might be some kind of heroic movement at the open. I mean, I may be wrong. I hope so. But I don't think there's going to be a lot going on Tuesday. We'll be going through the same drill when we get to the 4th of July weekend. Now let's take again a look at the SPX, and you're going to notice that the week has started to confirm a short. My attitude towards where the markets are going is definitely flavored or influenced by the literally hundreds of charts I've already looked at this weekend, trying to select the best setups for the coming week. Now you can see, those of you that have PTS charting, that we have what's called a reverse compression. where the stock confirmed. It's gone back up to test resistance, and that's where it left it right there. We're just cutting through the 20-day moving average. We could fail here if that's the case. The bottom of the channel's down at 780. That would be a reasonable goal. Our first goal would be around 840 and then down to 780. We could also bounce from here, because you will notice, for example, if you're using a 130 or a 180, those charts are in position to bounce and go back up. The day certainly is. So there's nothing definitive we can give you in regard to this is where it has to go on Monday. Now, the SPX has moved up to the 10-month moving average. We're just about there, very close to it. It's very rare for a stock to move through. That's a very powerful area of resistance. It currently stands at 932.01. 932. So that is very strong resistance there. I really think we're going to roll over and go down. You notice the VIX went up. The VIX was climbing as the market tanked last week. The VIX is getting into position now where it could roll over. I'm looking at a daily. It's not very overbought, but it's a little bit overbought. So we could go really either way, and we are prepared with our long and short triggers wherever feasible. Whichever direction the market selects, we're ready for it. Now let's take a look at the global outlook for the economy and the markets. And I have the Nielsen Global Economic Scorecard, which was released Friday. And it shows that consumer activity in the United States and China showed significant declines during the month of March, despite all the optimism for economic recovery. Findings include the ninth straight month of declines in unit sales in the United States. In Western Europe, March showed evidence of slowing transaction size, and consumer activity rebounded in Spain, although I don't think that's going to mean a lot to us. Despite recent optimism about a turnaround in the global economy, consumer activity in the United States and China showed significant declines during the month of March. The change was led by a continued decrease in shopping trips and consumer transactions, according to the Nielsen Economic Current Scoreboard. The United States decline may be partially attributed to the Easter holiday occurring in March last year, while it took place in April this year. Similarly, the drop in China may have been affected by the Chinese New Year, which is a high sales peak, which was in February 2008, but in January 2009. However, Nielsen Economic Current analysts are watching for signs of a longer-term retrenchment in spending. Now, I did put up a global GDP chart. Let's take a look at that. It's on the PTS radio page. You will see Eastern Europe, Asia, Latin America, North America, and Western Europe. Western Europe and North America have both moved over onto the negative side of the chart on 2009. That's gross domestic product. They're all declining, but Western Europe is the worst, with the U.S. very close to it. The U.S. UBS Global Economics team now expects 2009 world GDP to contract 0.4%, 0.4%, before returning to growth of 2.7 in 2010. Recovery will plateau at a level way below potential and a far cry from past recoveries. Now, I have a report here from the Open Market Committee, which met April 28th and 29th, and they said the U.S. gross domestic product could shrink 2% in 2009. Previously, the Fed forecast a fall of 1.3%. Other information includes house prices that are still falling. If the U.S. economy is really following Japan, things are going to get a lot worse. Japan's output is collapsing at a 15% annual rate as of last quarter. For the first time ever, exports are falling, taking the Japanese economy down with it. They go on to write, in fact, you can look at the entire bailout stimulus program and the $1.8 trillion U.S. budget deficit for 2009 as a huge transfer of wealth. Benefits are provided to the present generation at the expense of the next generation. The boomers borrow through their elected federal representatives. The next generation, much more Hispanic and much more immigrant, is stuck with the bill. But it's not that simple. The bailout stimulus program is a scam on top of a scam. One generation may be trying to get something at the expense of the next, but they're both losing. On the surface, the next generation gets stuck with the cost of bailing out the present generation. But underneath, the bailout is a sham. It really doesn't work. It doesn't revive the economy. All it does is move money from sensible households and good businesses to reckless spenders, mismanaged firms, and foolish projects. The losers are the winners. What it doesn't do is bring about a general recovery in the economy. It can't. For all the many reasons we've described in these reports that we've been going over week after week, the feds can spend money, but they can't turn bad investments into good ones, nor turn hopeless, brain-dead companies into successful ones, nor erase $20 trillion of excess debt. All the feds can do, in other words, is make a bad situation worse. First, they misled investors into believing the fix is in. With all that money coming into the market, people think the problems are going away. Everything is under control, they say to themselves. Then they put their money into stocks, deluding themselves that a new boom is underway. Later, when it becomes clear that the boom is a long way off, they are deeply disappointed. Stocks fall, and the economy enters a long, dark period of workouts, defaults, bankruptcies, disgrace, and suicides. Now, why do I mention these economic situations every week? Because the market should be linked. It should be linked or correlated with the economy. And we keep hearing about lights at the end of the tunnel, rays of sunshine, sprouts, green sprouts coming up. It really doesn't make sense. I do need to caution everybody, however, that we will continue to have rallies because they're working very hard to convince people that we are really going to have a great market. And every now and then we have a rally. Now, on the radio page, there is a very, very good video. It's a 5-minute background on where you can expect the market to go and what was responsible for this rally. I want to thank Jim Hefner, who was at the last course, for sending me the link. I hope you all get a chance to click on this and watch the video. The video, in essence, mentions that much of this money came from funds that legally have to have a certain percentage of their holdings invested, and that accounts for an awful lot of the move up. They're no longer putting their money in. Somebody's going to have to put their money in. The feeling I had after looking at hundreds of charts is we're short. It's already started to roll over. Maybe something will turn it around. But I saw most stocks making the turn around the corner on the long charts, such as the week, that are going to bring them down. I expect we'll have some rallies. Again, you know, I'll take them. I'll buy them when they go up, but I'm getting out. I think we'll play this game all through June, and then I think the market's going to be like a rock going off a cliff. And now we're going to take a few moments and answer your questions. The first one's from Ollie. He writes, I always hear, or she, I'm not sure, I always hear you and other members talk about the point of maximum pain during options expiration. I understand if you have an account with DAE, you could find this number on their site. I hold an account with Noble. Where can I find this information? As always, I appreciate your input and have a wonderful weekend. I hope you too are having a wonderful weekend, Ollie. We have added the link to the PTS radio page. It's right underneath the video. It says Option Pain, Max Pain Calculator. If you click on that, it'll take you to a generic Max Pain Calculator. I would bookmark it or create a shortcut for your desktop, and anytime you want that information, just click on it and you'll have it. Thanks for the question, Ollie. Our next question refers to a trade where somebody attempted to buy 10 contracts on the Qs. That was a put with open interest of $59,389. I called the brokerage firm that I deal with, and they told me that there were only 7 contracts available. Could you provide some insight since this was a limit order? Thanks in advance. Good question. I later found out that this trader deals with Options Express. I did speak with a broker late in the week to find out what might have caused this. It's what I got the answer I expected to get. Either there weren't enough contracts being offered at that price, so that's something to look in your options chain and you'll see that maybe only one market maker at the moment is offering 5 or something at that price, and other market makers have hundreds of contracts for sale that they're offering, but they're at a worse price. That's one possibility. The other possibility is the broker misunderstood you. If you're calling a broker, you really should be trading online anyway, not calling a broker. I hope that helps, but that's the best we could come up with. Andy writes, I forgot how to check the show pre- and post-market trades on the chart scaling window and cannot find it in the book. Is it checked on certain time frame charts? All you have to do is go to scaling, and each chart does it individually, and you can check show pre- and post-market. I often check one chart when I'm doing setups so that I can see any changes that might be occurring. For example, in my case, if it's a weeknight, it's aftermarket. Last week, I saw Shield all of a sudden run up 10 points in the aftermarket. And I said, is this true? Well, yes, it was. Actually, that was a gap up the next day. And those of you that get the setups might remember that Shield disappeared because it was too late to put you long. We were short. To put you long on Shield because it was going to gap up 10 points anyway. I keep these pre- and post-market check marks off during the market because it skews the charts. It messes up the charts. Lately, I've been using the pivot chart for that purpose. I don't actually mess with the stock charts or option charts. I just look over at my pivot chart, which I have set to show pre- and aftermarket, and I can see occasional trades shooting in here and there. For example, the stock maybe moved up to $38, and I'll see somebody got in at $36. And then the price went back to 38. Must be a cousin or a brother or some relative. No, they wouldn't do that. That would be verging on dishonesty. Now let's deal with one more question. It's from Bernardo. As a day trader, once a trigger is hit on a PTS setup, what steps should I take and consider to confirm an entry? Well, first of all, I'm assuming that you've read the instructions because there are certain situations that invalidate a trigger. You might remember what they are. A stock, for example, is a short all morning, drops down $3, then it starts up, and somewhere around 2 or 3 o'clock, it's gotten back to where it started and keeps on going up a little bit, and it hits the long trigger. That long trigger is no longer a valid trigger. The trigger should have been reset to where the stock turned and start moving up. That's one of the things we talk about in the course. It's something you should know how to do if you've been trained to use the PTS software. Now, what else do I look at? Let's assume that it's a valid trigger, that there's not been a gap, nothing funny going on. When is it occurring? Is this occurring 5 minutes before the close or in the last 20 minutes? Maybe as a day trader, you don't want to enter now. Is it occurring at noon or 11:30, and we're coming to the end of the morning trading? Volume is dropping off, so do check your volume. What is the market doing? You remember what I look at to check the market? Constantly, and as I mentioned on many other broadcasts, it becomes automatic after a while. I look at my market watch box or window that has all the indices in them. I want to know, is the Dow pulling back? Is it getting stronger? Are we climbing the Dow? I watch the NASDAQ. I watch the S&P. And I watch the NASDAQ comp. I also have the spiders on there, the Qs, the diamonds. And I might look up there and see that the Dow is up 15. I glance back. It's up 40. A few minutes later, it's up 70. It's getting stronger and stronger. Buyers are coming in. We move up to the long trigger. Now, Bernardo, I don't know what your time frame is, but you did mention you are a day trader. What's the 90 doing? Is there room for it to go up some more? Where's your 30? Does it have room to go up? Is it in a down channel? Is it going to start moving above the channel and pulling that channel up? You know, that sort of thing. Yes, that's good. It's probably a very valid trigger. What else do I watch? Well, I always watch the trend. I watch that intraday. As the trend goes lower, the market tends to go up. I could see the reversal coming Friday. There was a move near the end, and I saw the trend way up at the top and starting to curl over, and I was on the phone with somebody, and I said, and now the market's going to turn again, which it did. I also watch the VIX. I watch the VIX on a long-term chart, which is a daily, for the bigger moves. But I also watch it on, for example, a 30 and maybe a 78, so I can catch any intraday moves. Keeping all these things going, along with watching a pivot chart, which you should have built into your platform, I can see if this is a good place to take the trade. Now, suppose the trigger just happens to hit just below the daily pivot or between R1 or, for that matter, any of the important pivots or support and resistance areas on the day. I would let the price go through that. I don't want to take a trade long just below resistance. Then you also mentioned something about lights. Now, I don't want to mention anything about brand names, but I hope nobody is trying to trade real money in this market, looking at two moving averages and some blinking lights. You do need to have the price in front of you. I don't care if it's candles or bars or price lines. You do need to know what the price is doing all the time. Bernardo, let me know if you have more questions and I'll call you. And I want to thank everybody for sending in their questions today. And now, one of my favorite times on the broadcast. We're going to go over and visit with PTS coach Mike Mizunas. We're here with Coach Mike. I hope you're having a wonderful holiday weekend.
Hello, Mel.
I understand that today you have some information about charting. A lot of people think that it's not really necessary to know, but as we all know, people who trade a lot, understanding charting and chart patterns really helps, and PTS seems to outline the chart patterns beautifully.
Yeah, I thought we'd talk about chart patterns a little bit and some of the indicators that you run across.
Go ahead, and we'll see where this leads today.
Okay. I think what should be understood is that the only thing that really matters in the stock market is supply and demand. When there's more buyers than sellers, the stocks go up, and vice versa. And charts are just a graphical representation of supply and demand. History has shown that stocks often form patterns, and when these patterns are broken, price movements can be predicted with a reasonable degree of accuracy. These patterns are indicators, just like VIX and the trend is an indicator. This is just one more thing that you want to look at, one more indicator that you have in your favor that gives you a better probability of a successful trade. Let's discuss a few patterns. The head and shoulders pattern, I think everybody's known about. It's a pattern with a top and two shoulders. What you can do for most of the patterns is go to a couple of different websites and familiarize yourself. The head and shoulders pattern appears quite a bit. You'll find that there's a top and there's a support level. If you eventually break this support level, you're going down. If you don't break the support level, you're going to have a retracement. And when you look at these types of patterns, what you'll find is they reoccur time and time again. There's symmetrical triangles, there's rectangle patterns, and I think everybody's probably noticed a couple rectangle patterns this week, and even in the PTS charts have shown you up and down moves between the mean and positive one standard deviation or resistance.
Yeah, these things actually are very, very, the first thing I noticed when we built this years ago was how much more obvious they are in PTS than on, say, a candlestick setup. Much more obvious.
That's true, and I think it's become more obvious as the market goes sideways here. This is what we've been seeing, these rectangle patterns. All they are is a consolidation. The stock is basically saying that the buyers and sellers are willing to hold this stock in a given range. And in order for you to make money trading this stock, it has to break out or break down. So these types of patterns, you have to be able to recognize them, whether it's on a chart or whether it's not even aligning with a chart. A lot of times you'll see something just kind of going sideways if a channel is going up. It's still a consolidation pattern or a rectangle, or you'll see symmetrical triangles. Anyway, there's a couple of sites here that I think you might want to list, and people should familiarize themselves with them. I think it will make their trading a lot more confident.
Well, we've got the links to Investopedia.com and to LevittBrothers.com, both of which have sections on charting, and they're both on the PTS radio page.
Excellent sites. Excellent information.
I noticed as I was looking at setups or potential setups for this coming week, I ran across several head and shoulders, which is a reversal pattern. I ran in, I guess a lot of people that have the setups heard me mention Friday that the 90-minute chart had double bottoms. And it is very likely we're going to move up Friday morning. What did we do? We moved up. That's a reversal pattern that indicates we're going to move to the upside. Now, the reason the pattern formed in the first place is the psychology behind the trade or how the traders are trading it.
If you'll notice what this week, especially what's happened with the holiday week as it came up, you'll find that the volume is kind of backed off, and even today it's been kind of difficult to get, or Friday it's been difficult to get moves to go very far, simply because, again, it's all about buying and selling. If there's no buyers and no sellers, then the stocks either don't move or you're stuck in a range.
Yeah, it does take a lot of volume to run a stock up, and they might start out, but you have to have new buyers continually entering the trade to keep it moving. So we've got a lot of trades today that moved. They started out and they'd run 80 or 90 cents, and then they'd fizzle out.
Lack of support.
And, of course, I talked to one of the brokers today who knew where all the traders were. He said, oh, they're already out at the Hamptons. It's a little slow. It's going to be slow, by the way, next week. Don't expect them all back Tuesday morning. Some of them will just take the whole week off. Some of them will come in on Wednesday. I'm talking about a lot of institutional money, too. There's not going to be a lot of activity for a few days, but we'll still manage trades. Even today, we managed, I believe, four or five came in today, amazingly enough. One actually made a $3-and-something-cent move, and then the others were $1-something. But they were trades nonetheless, and you could make money on them.
You have to pick and choose. You have to take what's handed to you, what's available, and make a living off of it, you know. And when the traders come back, when the market makers come back, then things should pick up.
Yeah, I expect we will. Well, and of course we're entering the summer months officially. I don't know if this is the start or 4th of July, but the summer gets a little slow. I think this year could be a little more volatile because of the whole situation we find ourselves in. And at some point, I expect it to tip over, and I expect some big trades to start in early July. So I'm definitely not going to stop looking. Mike, I want to thank you very much for being with us today, and I hope that all the traders that listen do take the time to go through these sites. I've done it 1,000 times over the years. I just go back, and I familiarize myself with these patterns. And they, after a while, they just jump at you. You see, for example, a stock that moved up, and now it's sort of drifting down, and you think, ah, it's going to become a short. No, not really. It's winding up for the next leg up, and that's called a bull flag or a bull pennant, depending on how it forms. And I think you need to, if you're going to be a really successful trader, you need to familiarize yourself with these various patterns.
It's all about due diligence.
Thanks, Mike, and enjoy the rest of the weekend. And now we're back. I do want to mention to those of you who have been writing that we should be announcing the dates for the next PTS course during this coming week. Let's take a look now at the complimentary setups for the coming week. There are two. The first is MOS. Traders call it MOS, MOS. Agricultural chemicals, fertilizers, they've been very hot. This has an average true daily range of $3.10, which is excellent. Even though it's overbought on the week, this is a hot stock, and it could certainly continue long. Obviously, a lot has to do with what the markets do during the coming week. On the long side, we're looking for maybe $2.50, and on the short side, initially, we're looking for another $2.50. Either way, I'd be mighty surprised if you don't have at least one good trade using the PTS triggers and targets this coming week on MOS. Now, if you want to look at the charts, you notice it got interrupted on a 90-minute chart, and that's just because the market ended there Friday, and it was a little bit of a sell-off. And that left your 15-minute chart actually in a very good place for an entrance if you want to get in a little bit early. Your day, your 240, your 130, they're in position to continue on up. And you can see the prices that it could go to. At the top of the day, if it were to make it there, is up at almost 62, and it's down in the mid-50s now. Is this believable? Yes, it is. Take a look at your RSIs, and you'll see that they're not overbought. On the day, for example, it's only 62. So this is not overbought. It just has a lot to do with what the markets do during the coming week. Now, our second comp setup is V as in Victor, N as November, O as in October, VNO. It's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, with a daily range of $3.42. That's a big range. You can expect some movement on this. It has good volume. This past Friday, which was a very slow day on the market, it did 2.7 million shares. All the charts are short right now on VNO. Should they be? Well, if you believe in fundamentals, yes, they should be. I did write here, I expect an occasional bounce from covering in the next few days. But overall, the stock should continue down. It has that confirmed week that I was talking about that moved up a little to test resistance. If you look at a 240, it's well on the way down. You can at least shoot for the bottom of the channel. You can see the 50-day moving average down there at 42.36, which is well below where we are now. I think this is going to continue short, but you have to watch your charts and follow them. But it should give you a very, very good trade. Had a lot of fun putting this broadcast together. I thank you very much for taking your time to be with us. I wish you a great, great trading week and a wonderful holiday. This is your host, Bell Raymond, and I look forward to seeing you in the markets.